Matt's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water just in case if stuff gets too fire. I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it, and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
How's your appetite right now for uniform news? Are you starving for more? Are you stuffed?
I think uniform news is like it's an all you can eat buffet, and I'm always hungry.
News.
I paid. I'm gonna go up again. uniform news. I'm always ready. I'm always good.
Okay.
I like the little teaser videos. Today. I didn't watch all of them. I think they were all available. I think every team that is involved in this rivalry series produced some. They all looked pretty similar. The three or four that I watched looked, you know, similar production.
15, 20 seconds each.
Right, right. And I do think the Patriots video and even the logo and the Bills video and the logo look like they're doing the same things.
Oh, yeah?
A little bit, yeah. So I'm not sure what's happening there. I'm curious to see what that looks like put together.
I didn't watch New England. I have a rule.
It looks kind of it's like snowy, and that's the Bills thing. So the
game is week 5.
Right, it's not going to be snowy.
It shouldn't be. It's happened, but
probably won't.
You'd like to think it won't be, you know, a winter night on October 5th.
Let's bet against that. Yeah, it's a little
I'd
early.
Love to. Can Sam tell us how to do that? Bet against snow. Now, that is bold.
Is there a weather gambling app?
There might be. Yeah, I guess, you know, the NFL gets sometimes it's credit and blame at the same time. I mean, it's mostly credit, but you sort of roll your eyes at it, maybe, how they just dominate the news. It's almost like every year it's a new quest to take days away from other sports, from other like they've taken over Christmas. No one was really ever thinking about that. Christmas belonged to the NBA. And then the NFL showed up, and they're just trolling. I mean, we'll put games on Netflix, and we'll still beat you.
Right. Friday nights belong to high school football.
Right.
And Saturdays. For college. But whatever. We're coming in. Friday nights. Here we go.
And then the offseason, whether it's the draft or the schedule release and how they sort of drip, 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 release little nuggets about the schedule. Isn't it right? Like it's, I guess, impressive if you're impressed by things like this, but also a little ridiculous. Just like, do we really need, I'm in the meeting now. Do we really need all of this? Do we really have to just sort of bully our way into every day on the calendar? The uniform thing feels a little bit like that, where we're so big and powerful now, we're just going to whip out all these new throwback uniforms and rivalry. What even is the rivalry series? Like, what even is that? It's division games. Okay, so we're going to have another. I'm not against it. It just seems like, I'm ready to leave. You're at the buffet, and you're just going to hang out.
You've had enough. You're
until
full.
You're going to want to eat again. And I just feel like that. I got to keep my dignity here. And at some point, I'm just going to go home. All right, okay. A fourth helmet.
Yeah.
Okay. Is this how you would do it? One account I follow that's into the uniform scene said something like, couldn't you just, it sounded like the schedule, couldn't you just build up to like a Wednesday night or something and release all the uniforms or just do, what do we say about the schedule? Either do it that way or do one every day, one game a day for 3 months. I don't know. Much ado about nothing, probably, but my complaint, I mean, I don't mean the thing itself.
No, I mean, I share your sentiment. I don't know that I would myself raise it to the level of complaining about it, but yeah, I mean, it is, they're everywhere, they're everything and everywhere all of the time. Like that's what the NFL is striving to do, and something, an entity that is doing that, you know, is risking hitting a breaking point.
I guess.
But I don't.
How long have we been saying that?
I don't think there is one with this league. Like, whatever bad news there ever is just sort of gets swept away. You know, concussion lawsuits, the NFLPA falling apart, like, whatever it is. Just, it's over there.
Yep.
Collusion. Yeah, you know.
That's right.
Who cares? I think the collusion story is a very interesting and big story for the players in the league. But the fans don't really care.
I agree.
Because it's just like, it's illegal mumble jumble. They're going to play. They're going to play. I don't, whatever. I don't need to hear all this. I don't need it. It's minutia. Even though I think it's a pretty significant story for the everyday players in the league, mostly them, more than even I guess the big guys are the ones who are affected by the collusion and the no guaranteed contracts and all that, maybe more than the rank and file members of the union, but whatever. It's just an example of how the league seems impenetrable to trouble. They have trouble, but it never really seems to matter. They're mostly bulletproof.
It doesn't. You're saying it. It doesn't make me feel good.
No.
You know? I mean,
there's a lot of things in the world that don't make you feel good anymore.
That's right. That's right. And how you process those things is really important and interesting, right? I mean, you don't want to drown in, you know, a cesspool, if you will, of bad news and fear all the time. But you'd also, I don't think, want to ignore it. That doesn't feel right. Neither really feels right. This is just a microcosm. I mean, football is not all that, but just the uniforms. Well, every day I wake up and it's like a new uniform.
I think it might play a part in fans. I'll even maybe cop to this myself. Not feeling like I want to get upset about the league inundating us with announcements and different stuff and even the bad news being ignored. I think you might want to ignore the bad news because there's enough bad news, like real substantive bad news. And so complaining about something that's making you mad in football.
What a waste.
I might feel kind of like an idiot. that's my lane. I don't know. It just doesn't really. It's not a direct transaction to me. I don't know. I think I'm probably harder to upset about sports stuff.
Yeah, that's probably good. Maybe it was during COVID that there was another realization of this, you know, because wasn't it kind of incredible thinking back 5 years that they played the whole season? All the leagues did, mostly.
Like, yeah.
They played seasons with no crowds. Would you ever have imagined
that
sports was so... dominant a force in society that they would play almost an entire NFL season without people in attendance?
I think maybe the NFL more so than than other sports. I don't remember how I felt at the time or what we said at the time, but we all know that the NFL is not a gate-driven league. So, and they proved it. Like, you know, I mean, I don't know what happened to revenue in the COVID season. I'm sure it took a hit without fans coming to games, but did it seem like the league lost a step at all? I mean, the cap probably was flat for a little bit there, but now it's right back to just going up and up and up. And so, you know, and there's always the, you know, we need you now thing, right? Like we need the distraction. We need the, you know, get on the field and amuse us, entertain us, take our minds off masks and vaccines and arguing and all the stuff.
All the people who died with COVID would have wanted the NFL to play.
That's a tough way to put it.
You know,
yeah.
But that's what they're certainly, I don't remember. They probably did, you know, think that, if not say it at the time. Anyway, I mean, I'm guilty. Don't take away my game days. Like, just, I feel like I got to have it. I feel like I'm a slave to them. And that doesn't feel good either, but it's, I'm being honest, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Thursday night football. Thursday night went from kind of a joke, a nuisance, bad matchups, who asked for this, to like a ritual. Almost.
Yeah, I used to yell at you. I don't know, yell might be strong, but
make fun of me.
Make fun of you. Like, I don't want to play so much fantasy football that I have to watch this game if it's a horrible game. If it's Jacksonville, Tennessee, and they're terrible and it's pouring, I don't feel like I want to watch this game. Now I stay up till the end of those games. They're better matchups.
Even you.
They are better matchups now, mostly because of Prime, right? So Thursday has become less of like a dumping ground for like all the teams that don't qualify for real night games can get to play on Thursday night football. That's kind of the way that package of games started out. That was the only Bills primetime action we had for a while, was Thursday night. You know, because they weren't good, they were in a small market, and you know, nobody's that interested, but you know, we'll give you this one. You're gonna have some fun. Here's a night game for you. The opponent's not going to be any good either, but, you know, here, have it.
I've just checked the schedule, and I believe the first Thursday night game that you will tell us you are skipping is in week 11.
Okay.
Ready?
I don't know. I haven't skipped one in a while, but I don't. We'll see.
Week one is different. I mean, that's NBC,
sure, right.
Dallas, Philadelphia. Week two is Washington at Green Bay.
I'm watching that.
In. I'm so
all,
in.
All of it.
Week three is Dolphins-Bills.
Gunpoint.
I think you're going to watch that game. You might even go to it. Four is Seattle-Arizona.
Now, are they going to be wearing... Is that the date for those...
I don't know, maybe.
I want to see the sand, the desert-colored Cardinal uniforms.
You're so
I'm curious.
Afflicted that you'll tune in for the clothes.
Yes.
It might as well be Project Runway you're tuning in to watch on that Thursday night of week four.
Sure.
That's a tester. Without the uniforms,
a little bit.
Skip Kyler Murray versus Sam Darnold. Week five, Niners-Rams.
Yep.
Six, Eagles-Giants.
Yes, sure.
Seven, Bengals hosting Pittsburgh.
Never going to miss that.
Never going to miss that game. This is Thursday nights. Eight, Minnesota at the Chargers.
Sure.
Why not?
Yeah. Maybe I've seen J.J. McCarthy by then, but, you know, whatever. There's a standalone game for J.J. McCarthy.
Week one, they're on Monday night. You'll see him on the Monday night opener. Week nine, Baltimore at Miami. Of course.
Yep.
Week 10, Raiders-Broncos.
Classic.
Every time.
Yep.
Week 11, Jets-Patriots. That's when I think you get the check. If that game were earlier, like last year, wasn't that week three? Week two was Bills-Miami, and then week three was Jets-Patriots at the Jets with Rodgers. And I think you were like, nope, I hate this so much. The Jets beat New England. Anyway, that's the game you might miss. Then 12 is Bills, again, at Houston.
Okay.
13 is Thanksgiving. Then just to finish it up, Dallas at Detroit. Yes.
That's a winner.
Atlanta at Tampa. That was the best game of the year last year when they met in Atlanta. I don't know. You don't have to say yes to that
one. No, that'll look like a guy. I like Michael Penix Jr., and I don't like the Falcons. He's going to make me like the Falcons. Them wearing the uniforms they're wearing against the Bills is going to make me like the Falcons.
Red helmets?
Red helmets. They look nice.
16, Rams at Seattle, and then 17 is all bets are off. So there's Thursday night schedule. That's a point. It's good.
It is a good. That is not. There's only a couple of games in there to me that don't sound even that interesting. But even Jets-Patriots is a division game. How, you know, what kind of year are the Patriots having? You know, I think I'm going to want to watch Drake May play almost every time he plays. If I get a chance. Because he's, you know, he's the guy that I think is coming for the Bills the most. That's the team, and mostly because of him and the coach. I think they're going to be the team that you're going to see in the mirror behind you first. At this point, I think they have an opportunity this year to supplant Miami as that team. And so I'm going to want to watch that as it develops, I think.
Week one, Raiders at New England. That's a Sunday, 1 o'clock. I'm guessing we're going to get Pittsburgh at the Jets.
That's probably right.
But the other one's good, too. So is Cleveland at Cincinnati. Or Cincinnati at Cleveland, rather. So ready for week one. So ready for Sam Panayotovich today at 3:30. I watched his show a few days this week on BetMGM Network, Bet Sweats. And at one point yesterday or the day before, he said, it is football season now. They did a lot of college predicting this week. But I know, like, Not that we've ever had to drag him.
Right.
But last week I said to him, Sam, the hot dogs have been eaten. I mean, let's get into some futures bets here.
The majors are over.
The majors are even over.
It's not last week when you talked to him, obviously, but still.
But he hadn't watched a minute of the PGA, or the Open, rather, last week. We talked about it for a while, but he hadn't watched any of it. So we'll talk to Sam here coming up. Sal, with his reports from Bills camp today and yesterday a little bit, got the downfield passing attack senses tingling, I would say, yesterday with intermediate stuff. And then he's tweeting about this pass to Kincaid and this pass to Elijah Moore, maybe it was. Like, okay. And it makes me wonder, and this is a conversation to have with Sal, I think, and we can always have it, is if the Bills offensively want to be different or just better, you know, or just more varied, right? That was not a strength of their team last year.
No.
And you'd want to work on things that didn't come easy.
Yeah.
I wonder if they want to change their identity at all. I was on with Andrew Filippone on his FanDuel show today and was mostly talking about fantasy football, but when Mahomes' name came up, you know, he asked me about Mahomes as a pick. And I said, like, the Chiefs are maybe closer, I would guess, to being a team that does want to change how they're playing. I'm thinking of Davis Maddock on my podcast with him Tuesdays, ADP chasing. It's like, hopefully, he's a Chiefs fan. He said, hopefully that Super Bowl finally was the punch in the face they needed, where, like, they're just realizing they can't get away with that anymore. But I don't know. Why should defense be different? Why should defenses be different against these teams? Because that's where it started.
Right.
Is teams giving teams like Kansas City and Buffalo just less of a chance to hit them over the top. So go ahead and let's see your 12-play matriculating the ball down the field stuff. And, you know, the Bills were able to do it. The Bills smartly shifted to a bigger offense, right? And they were able to run it and make teams pay for that strategy. I don't know. Like, is there any reason to think that'll change?
I don't think it will change. I don't think they want to change who they are, but I definitely, this wire got tripped for me yesterday, and you're re-tripping it now, bringing it up. Brady, the offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, was talking yesterday about how every year, and, you know, coach speak, you know, whatever, a lot of this you can just put in a blender and drink it. It's going to taste the same as the thing you had last week or last year. But, you know, you got to evolve. You got to do things differently than you were doing them, or at least, you know, augment what you're doing, maybe conceal what you were doing last year in some different clothes or whatever it is. But it would stand to reason to me. It's not surprising, given his comments and what the point you just made about their passing offense and how not downfield it was. Like, only so much of that I think you want to give up and throw up your hands and go, like, well, they're playing us this way. I guess I'm trapped. And then you got to try to find a way. There's always that give and take and that reaction and the reaction to the reaction and, you know, make an adjustment. The thing the Bills should be trying to unlock is, you know, 20 air yard passing game. It was not good last year. It was terrible for the Chiefs, too. I seen Greg Cosell a few times on Ross Tucker's podcast this week. It just popped up in my feed at different times, making a point about how Mahomes was worse than the league in downfield passing last year.
Yeah.
Which is kind of incredible for who he is, and that's the point your friend Davis Maddock is making. Like, hopefully they realize they need to really do something about this. I mean, the Bills are not there because as bad off as Kansas City may have been, but I still think you want to have that be a part of who you are and make teams, like, if you think you can exploit, like the Bills really did with big personnel and the running the ball and throwing it out of heavier formations and stuff that they did and were effective and 30 points a game and all that, I think you still want to threaten teams, make them stay in that, and we're going to find other ways to exploit you and find open field out there. It might not be, you know, over your head necessarily, but intermediate doesn't have to be taken away to me by by like a too high safety shell. There's a lot of room in the middle of the field if you're playing in that. You just got to find a way to unlock it. You got to find guys that can separate too. And I don't know
where
the Bills are on that quest. We'll see what kind of impact a healthy Curtis Samuel maybe has in that. Elijah Moore, if he makes the team, has in that. And Josh Palmer, who's also new.
Josh Allen at FanDuel for the year, 3,775 and a half passing yards is the line. It'd be higher than last year. It also, those lines also presume
about, missing games.
Well, I don't know if it's right to say they presume that. I mean, it often happens. I feel like it should be about 14 games you would expect for like the average guy. I mean, Allen, of course, is on a durability streak, but that's, you know, not a lot, but a little higher than last year.
Yeah, I think he finished with 30. What is the number? Because he's 37-31 is the number from last year.
Right. This one is 37-75.
Okay, right.
But that one last year was his lowest in 5 years. Think about that. I do a lot. The MVP had his lowest
right.
passing output in, you know, since he got good. Also, that Bo Nix outdid him in passing yards, passing touchdowns, and completion percentage as a rookie. I don't think Allen was undeserving. It's just sort of amazing that you could win in a league like this with what Jackson did, with what Burrow did, and then, you know, Nix and others. It's kind of amazing you could win with those stats, but he did. Cutting down on the interceptions, losing Diggs, we've been all over it, contributed to the narrative. And, of course, his rushing, and that number for this year is 500 and a half yards, which is a little bit lower than where he's been. That's interesting, maybe. That would be his lowest in 5 years.
Yeah. It stands to reason you might want to start fading that at some point in his career, right? Like, not expecting it to just smash. I mean, you're also, like, you know, if fans want to hammer the over, maybe that'll change. I don't know. But, you know, we talk all the time about when is it going to happen. And, you know, sometimes I think when I talk about it, it sounds like I might know, or like I think it's still not here yet. The truth is, it's going to happen at some point, and maybe we won't see it coming. You know, it just will. It just won't be as effective as it was. He'll lose a step, you know, as he gets older, and at some point, and you know, I want to think that that's still 2 or 3 years down the road, but I don't know. You know, it could come at any moment, I suppose.
Sam Panayotovich coming up. We'll talk some more props and futures and football stuff with Sam, among other things. We usually bounce around. Sal at 4 and at 5 today, Mike Dempsey, football diehards and also a host in Jacksonville. You know Mike perhaps from having been on with us a number of times. And it seems rare that the Jaguars are not on the Bills schedule this year. It feels like they always are, but I mean, not really, but they are not a Bills opponent in 2025, regular season at least. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening on this Friday. Back with Sammy P after this break on WGR. Justin Jefferson out for now with what's being called mild hamstring sprain. He missed the end of practice yesterday. Is that a biggie? Biggie? No biggie?
I'm reading strain. It sounded like you said sprain. Not to freak anybody out there, but we had the whole carted off.
What's worse?
I think sprain would be worse than a strain.
Okay. Can you sprain a muscle anyway? I misspoke. Strain it is. When he comes back, who knows, but it might not be until week one. Right? I mean, would you play Justin Jefferson in the preseason anyway?
No, it's just like new receivers here we talk about. They're going to do their work in practice. Allen's not going to play a lot in the preseason, so they're going to have to figure out what they're doing and what the pecking order is with everybody, you know, in these joint practices and the regular practices, and I would think the same would go for Minnesota whenever he's healthy again. I wouldn't put him on the field in a preseason game.
I wonder, and I know you are wondering as well, what happens to his ADP, Jefferson? Right now, he goes second or third all the time. Right now, I did it again. Sam Panayotovich in our presence, in my presence, and here I am talking about fantasy football. Well, I guess I I do have the addiction. On the Western Hotline is Sam Paniatovich, Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Sam and Joe Ostrowski host Bet Sweats weekday mornings 9 to noon. Sam was on with Kate Constable today, if you want to check that out on the Odyssey app. And I'm pleased to announce that Joe will be on our show again this football season. Thursdays is what it's been. So Joe on Thursdays and Sam on Fridays. Can't get enough of you guys.
I appreciate that. I can also inform you guys that I am playing hurt, much like Justin Jefferson. I am still dealing with abdominal trauma from my 2 a.m. Burger King order the other night.
I believe that.
I think I do believe that.
I don't have any trouble believing that.
That can take a couple of days, maybe.
Yes.
Sam, I mean,
I woke up the next morning, man, 7:45. I beat the alarm up. I was like, oh, Lord, there's a brick in my body, and I did it to myself. It's just the worst feeling in the world, that late night fast food that you don't even remember ordering. Oh, nothing like it.
And you know when you do it that that's going to happen.
Yeah, you're counting on it. It's a part of the attraction, maybe. I don't know.
Somehow it is. Sam, on your show this morning, you did one of my favorite things. I didn't see what sparked it, but it probably was the throwback uniforms. Looking up Pro Football Reference type pages from a century ago. And, you know, seeing 0-0 ties and games just not being played for some reason. What do we have recently, Bulldog? Tonawanda, one team that played one game.
Right,
ever.
And then they folded or.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's a fun one.
So that always happens when we have a fill in host and the guest is late. There's always that panic in the back of your mind, like, where is this going to go? So the reason we did that is because one of our guests was a little late, and that was the guest that was yawning during his hit this morning. I don't know if you caught that,
too. I didn't, no.
Yeah, yeah, it's a summer, baby. Everybody's asleep. So Kate comes back, and we're trying to just punt until we get the guests on, and she's like, did you see those new Packers uniforms? And I'm like, no. So then I'm Googling on the fly new Packers uniforms, which kicks me to an NFL.com release. Apparently, they're going to wear the 1923 Acme Packers uniforms this year.
Mm-hmm.
So now I'm just breezing. I'm just trying to grab anything I can find. And I eventually get to the Wikipedia page for the 1923 Green Bay Packers season. And the final scores, guys, are a joke. 12-0, 3-0, 10-0, 10-7. There's a 0-0 tie against the St. Louis All-Stars. The football was very bad, and I assure you it was very, very white back in 1923.
What would betting have been like?
I mean, I don't know. The totals would be like 7.5.
Right. Will there be a touchdown? Might have been about an even money bet in the game. Or will there be points? It's like betting soccer or something. Well, yeah, I mean, hats off. Belated congrats to Curly Lambeau's 23 Packers on a fine season.
Sam, yawning is nothing. I when I worked mornings here at this station, we had the great Emmanuel Stewart, boxing announcer and boxing trainer on. And I mean, I don't have the audio to prove this.
You don't need it.
I am positive that he was going to the bathroom at one point during our number one, but still, you could hear it, and it was plain as day. And my partner and I were just looking at each other, going like, and we turned the mics off. Is he? Yeah. I think okay. All right. We just kind of kept going, but it was.
So did he?
So did he? Yes. Finished her off.
We had a guy on once. This is years ago. I was living in Vegas, hosting with a buddy of mine named Matt Humans at VSiN at the time. This is 2018 or 19. And we had a guest that I don't know how, I guess he was just in the trance of being on the radio and being on the phone, and he didn't realize what he was doing on the side. So he's talking. We had him on about 3-4 minutes. And then at the 5-minute mark, as he's wrapping up one of his answers, you hear a toilet flush. And it's as loud as day. The toilet somehow took over his voice. So you just hear, And then humans and I just lose it. I mean, how do you keep a straight face when your guest is literally on the toilet on the show?
Yeah, at least the thing I'm talking about was maybe like very early 2000s. So like phone technology. I don't know if you notice this on your shows. I hear it all the time on ours when we talk to people on cell phones, and you can hear their turn signals clicking. Now the phones are so good now. Maybe Emmanuel Stewart, in his defense, thought like, the phone won't pick this up.
Or he didn't care. Right. He had to go. Simple as that. So did Sam's guy. With Sam Paniatovich here on WGR, do you have NFL awards lines handy?
I do, yes.
What's the better bet? Travis Hunter to win Offensive Player of the Year or Travis Hunter to win Defensive Player of the Year?
Do you want rookie here or player?
Rookie. Right. Thank you. Rookie.
I wish they had one award, because I don't really like either of them. Now, a guy that I know who's close to Jacksonville says the fact that they took him as high as they did and brought in Liam Cohen, conventional wisdom would tell you that they're going to use him more on offense, but I just don't know the split. And, you know, if you take a guy and you play him 35 snaps on offense and 30 snaps on defense, are those snaps good enough to get him over the top? I don't know. I mean, you did ask me A or B, so I guess I would go offense. But then we had a guest on yesterday, Evan Silva, who says he thinks Ashton Gentry is going to lead the league in touches. So it's a very good question. I don't know that I have a good answer for you. I'm inclined to think he gets more offensive snaps because that's what Liam Cohen comes from. Of course, he's in that Shanahan McVay tree. So, they're going to try and use him all over the field, guys, but I don't know that I would make that bet on either side of the two. I'd lean offense. But because we don't have a rookie of the year in totality, we split it offense and defense. I don't think he's winning either one. I don't think he's going to play enough.
If they were combined, he would be the favorite.
He'd be minus 500.
Okay, heavy favorite. What are the odds on offense and defense, if you know?
So your favorite for offense is Genty, and then it's Cam Ward. Those are the two guys around 3-1, depending on where you look. And then, good grief, my guy Omarion Hampton, who I remember talking about on this show at 16-1. DraftKings has 750 on him right now. Other books have about 10, 12. So, look, there's a lot to like about a Harbaugh running back in year one. And this is a guy who's a home run hitter and a three-down back. And it also helps my bet that Najee Harris was blowing off fireworks in his face on the 4th of July. So, because, like, Najee was supposed to be the guy who came into camp, like, the guy to beat. And I don't know that he's in good flavor right now in Los Angeles. So, look, Hampton to me at 16 was a bet. At 10, I still think it could be worth a bet. I don't love 10 when you could have bet 16. But those are your three heavy hitters, Genty, Ward, and Hampton. And then on defense, it's Abdul Carter and then everybody else. So Carter's like 2-1, 2.25, and then Travis Hunter's 10-1. So a big gap there on defense.
Hampton is still a great idea, I think. I know there's always, like you were talking about Apple stock the other day, there's always what I could have had it at.
Right. It's still a pretty nice number, though.
Yeah, the Harris thing, fantasy is in love with Hampton right now. As soon as it came, well, the Harris news came out, and then it was kind of weird what was actually the case with him. He's on the field. You can't really see his face. The coach has been kind of vague about it. It all sets up for Hampton to be week one starter, I mean, easily. And if he's good, that's a great offense and a great coach for him to have. And, you know, Genty's on the Raiders. Like, it's pretty – if Genty and Ward aren't great, then Hampton's in great shape to win that award, I would say. So 10-1 sounds pretty good to me.
I just think you have to look at how Harbaugh is going to operate with the offensive coordinator in tow. They are going to be a run-first team. Yes, they have Justin Herbert, but they are going to use this kid potentially as the focal point of their offense. And he comes into a really good spot. I mean, look at the way that they've built that offensive line the last few years. I mean, they have multiple guys they believe are going to be Pro Bowlers. You got Slater at left tackle from Northwestern, Joe Alt from Notre Dame at right tackle. They went, you know, first round there. They like Zion Johnson at center. They bring in Becton, who was blocking for Barkley in Philly. I mean, this is a very good line. This is a top 10 line, if not better. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh and Greg Roman are going to run the ball, which will open up the passing game with Justin Herbert. So that is a run-first head coach and really has been for a long time, despite being a quarterback in the NFL.
I realize that this might be pretty far down the board, but I've been seeing a lot of juice on Ezeraku, the pass rusher in Dallas, second-round pick. Is he on the board for Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year?
Oh, yeah. I see a 25-1 at one book. Oh, geez, I got to spell that name in my prop shop. Good luck. Holy crap, man. Ezeiraku. Can I buy a vowel? Let me just talk here. You guys talk, and I'll look him up. You guys just talk, and I'll type his name in.
Always back to Dallas when Sam is on.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I'm intrigued by them, and anything that sort of pushes me in a direction to like the fact that I have them to win the division in this 8-team parlay that Sam and I put together a couple of weeks ago.
Oh.
You know, and there's an opening there. I mean, they lost the other edge guy, and, you know, he's not at the top of the depth chart or anything. He's outranked right now, but I just wonder if that's a guy that, you know, might flash. He seems like he's flashing early in camp. There, did we talk long enough?
He is as high... Yeah, you did. I had it actually 5 seconds in. All I had to do was type in EZE, and he was the only one that populated.
Right.
EZE. All right.
Yeah, RIP, baby, with his White Sox hat on. Defensive Rookie of the Year, 25-1 is your high side. And then there's a 22-1 at BetMGM. But it's basically a $3 range, yep. 22, 22, 24, 25, 25. Look, it's usually a guy who gets to – the quarterback, that's certainly the way it goes. I mean, you look at, let's go back to 2018. Shaq Leonard, Nick Bosa, Chase Young, Micah Parsons, Sauce Gardner, there's a corner, then Will Anderson and Jared Verse. It's a guy that gets to the quarterback more years than not.
Sam, what's hot right now in terms of NFL futures? Is there something that you've seen market movement or that you keep hearing or reading about that people are into? It's still so long before the season starts. But what do you think is trendy?
Oh, the trendiest thing in football is Ben Johnson, Coach of the Year.
Okay.
Which I would not bet. As a Chicago kid who was a Bears fan for a long time until he had to cover the Bears and realize, wow, this is a dysfunctional team. I'm not betting 7-1. And this happens every offseason in Chicago. The hype is just... it's just cyclical. I mean, last year, Matt Eberflus was the favorite to be Coach of the Year, and he should have been fired on Thanksgiving. So, you know, depending on where you look, one book has Vrabel favored, a couple others have Johnson favored. I mean, I'm reading the reports out of Chicago. It's like, oh, Caleb Williams is throwing picks. The offense isn't lining up correctly. Ben Johnson's screaming at the ones, and it's just, I would never do it. And you know, another thing that we had Silva on yesterday, Evan Silva, I thought he made a great point, because the narrative around Ben Johnson is that he is the answer. He is the next coming of Christ to some people in Chicago. And he was kind of the reason they lost that playoff game, because they started running receiver reverses and, you know, passes to the left tackle, and they got really, really cute, and they got away from Jahmyr Gibbs. And now it's just like this locked decision that he's going to solve Caleb Williams, and I do not think that's the case. There are going to be a lot of growing pains there. This is a quarterback learning his essentially third offense in less than a calendar year, because this time last year he's working under Shane Waldron, then Waldron gets fired, so they learn the Thomas Brown offense, and now he's learning Ben Johnson's offense. So it's just the Bears hype every year, only to be explained by Ben Johnson being favored to win Coach of the Year with a team that's always on the rise of being a sneaky team. And I just laugh every year. The Bears are going to win 7 games, and Ben Johnson will not win Coach of the Year.
That award is so hinges on expectations. And I wonder what the voters would do with the Bears and the Patriots, who both have high picks at quarterback going into year two. Like, I think a big Caleb Williams year or a big Drake May year, that could go either way. That could be like, give the coach credit, or it's about the player. When you have an established Jacksonville might be interesting here. Liam Cohen, I'm seeing, is the third choice, at least in one sports book. And what is Trevor Lawrence? Would he get, I think he would. I think he would get a lot of credit for elevating Trevor Lawrence if he can do it, even though that's another guy. I mean, he's not that much older, right, but also a first overall pick. This Browns coach keeps winning because he's nowhere at that position, and the Browns aren't even good.
They play six guys, but, and he makes the playoffs anyways.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's always a big part of the evaluation for that award. And I got both the Bears and Patriots coaches are well-respected in their own ways, but they also have big talent at quarterback that should, you know, make it easier for them than it would for other guys.
We did this segment, I want to say last November or December. Joe and I went back and looked at all the guys who won Coach of the Year and basically what the team was supposed to be before the season. As we know, guys, it's not the best, like, coach of the best team.
Right.
It's like Andy Reid, Sean McDermott. Like, those guys get docked because they're coaching good teams. Andy Reid's won Coach of the Year one time. That's a travesty. I mean, he's the best coach in the league right now, I think. And last time he won it, well, the only time he won it was 2022. But usually it's a guy who takes over a team that won, you know, four or five games, has a win total of 6.5, and then that team wins 10. Like, Brian Daboll is a perfect example of that. He comes to New York. New York was bad. They flirted with 10 wins, and he won the Coach of the Year. You know, Kevin O'Connell takes over a team that isn't good, turns them into a playoff team. So you really have to find the coach of the team that's supposed to be bad that ends up being good and wins close to 10 games. Those are sort of the parameters of what NFL Coach of the Year has turned into. Like, for example, Sean McDermott right now to win Coach of the Year is 50-1. And like, my comment to that is, what do the Bills have to do for him to win? Do they have to go 17-0?
Close.
16-1, maybe, yeah.
Right. Close.
Yeah. Basically. Right. Basically.
Yep. The answer for that, I mean, I understand. I see it the same way you do. Carolina's guy is interesting then. Dave Canales, who has a good reputation. He has already gotten credit for kind of saving Bryce Young. And if that takes a step forward in what could be a weak division, 10-11 wins, he would qualify. I think he's somebody that voters would want to support.
Yeah, and he checks that big box. I think the biggest box in that market, NFL Coach of the Year, is you want to bet a guy who takes a non-playoff team to become a playoff team. So, like, let's throw Dan Quinn out because the Commanders made the playoffs last year. Dan Quinn is 40-1. You're looking in that wheelhouse of Vrabel, Ben Johnson, Liam Cohen, Aaron Glenn, Dave Canales.
Say Brian Schottenheimer's name. I want to get back to Dallas.
Schottenheimer, 25-30-1. Yep, exactly. Like, that's what you need. You need to find the right horse that takes the team from a non-playoff team to the playoffs.
Aaron Glenn, you mentioned. Pete Carroll. All right. So, is it all? It's not all NFL in there. You're doing baseball every day, college football too. But next week, Sam, the Hall of Fame game.
Oh, I'm ready, buddy. In fact, I have. You'll love this. We have a guy from Chicago. I've known him 15 years. He only does this for the Hall of Fame game. He calls it the suicide teaser. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
So it's a 10-point monster teaser, where he comes in every year Hall of Fame game and he teases both sides and both totals. So he's butterflying the Hall of Fame game. So the example, Detroit and LA Chargers, it's a pick 'em. So he's got the Lions plus 10 and the Chargers plus 10. And then the total is 33. So he's got over 23 and under 43. He does it every year for the Hall of Fame game.
I bet he wins. A lot of those games seem pretty much the same. 17-13, you know, just close and boring.
He's done pretty well.
I bet he does.
He's done pretty well with it.
I can believe it. All right, Sam. Well, excited to talk to you again today. What have you got going on this weekend?
I'm going to see Ohtani pitch. He's coming to Fenway Sunday.
That's good.
Giddy up. Wow, that's awesome. Yeah, that's right. That series begins tonight, right? Who's going? Do you know who's going tonight? I haven't looked.
Yeah, it's Bayo and this guy named Emmett Sheehan. I misread it as Ed Sheeran this morning, but it's not Ed Sheeran starting for the Dodgers. It's Emmett Sheehan against Brian Bayo.
Yep. Very good. Enjoy that and the game on Sunday, and thanks for your time again today.
Thank you, guys. Go Bills, and most importantly, Bulldog, go Cowboys.
Sure.
Most importantly. Right on. Sam Paniatovich.
What has happened to my life?
Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. I think, I don't know, I'm not going to go looking. I could. That day when you and I did the eight-team division thing, I thought I placed one or two of those, but...
Don't seem to know where they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe I didn't because I did want to learn more about what was causing the odds to flip.
Yeah, right, right.
It seemed like they were doing it counterintuitively.
Yeah.
The favorite was winning you more. But I never did that. This is how I am with everything.
Oh, I should look into that.
That's right. That's right. Where it ends.
Yep. Underdog.
Underdog. Yep. Oh, I'm on the clock in 11 drafts. I have to do that now.
For me, it's there's a guitar over there. I'll just do that for a while.
You know, that's probably a good thing.
Yeah.
Sure. I don't need to be placing all these losing bets.
Or spending all this time researching.
Yeah, know. I'm not going to bet it, what a waste. Odyssey Sports, BetMGM Insider, Sam Paniatovich. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. For all of your betting needs, check out the newly rebranded BetMGM Network on the Odyssey app. And again, Sam with Joe Ostrowski, weekday mornings 9 to noon on the Bet 1520. Sal is next. We've got a hint at another Bills uniform rivalry game, week 5 against New England. There's that. I've got one thing to bring up with Sal as far as that goes. We'll find out how practice went and get into some different Bills topics next. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. Happy Friday. This is WGR.